Let's go ahead and stand and we'll look at our scripture this morning as you're standing. We'll be able to open up John's Gospel. This morning we look in John's Gospel chapter 8, and we left off in verse 12, and as you know, usually on Sunday we cover a number of verses, but today we're just going to look at verse 1, but there'll be other complementary cross-reference scriptures. But in John chapter 8, verse 12 is where we left off. And the Bible says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So, Father, we've been praying and trusting that you would minister to us. You have already through worship and prayer and encouragement with one another. But, Lord, how we need to hear from you and your word today. Bring forth, Lord, the understanding that we need regarding the day and time in which we live. And then give us, Lord, hearts to receive your word, knowing how do we live in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I found it rather interesting this week, checking out an article from an individual, not a theologian. His name's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he had a statement in one of his movies that became quite a classic little statement. It's called "I'll Be Back," and he says it in the way that he says it. But he was speaking on a show, and they asked him, governor, that's when he was governor, what happens when you die? And then the conversation went to a current conversation this week. And his answer was, nothing. You're 6 feet under. Anyone that tells you something else is a big liar. We don't know what happens with the soul and all that spiritual stuff that I'm not an expert in. But I know the body, as we see each other now, will never see each other again like that. So it's interesting. You say you're not an expert, but you want to give an expert opinion on something you're not an expert on regarding all of eternity. He said, when people talk about, I will see them again in heaven, it sounds so good, but the reality is we won't see each other again after we're gone. That's the sad part. I know people feel comfortable with death, but I don't, he said. And that's really sad when you see that. So you have somebody that's very visible out there, somebody that's held a position as a governor. California is like the seventh largest country in a sense, economically and otherwise. And yet to have this kind of opinion, and many times as they speak, they think they're representing, and they are representing a number of people, I'm sure, that think like that, but nothing could be further from the truth. My friends, there is a reality to this life. There's two eternal destinations. I don't care what anybody feels or thinks or what their opinion is. You can have opinion, but as with him or anyone else, there's two eternal destinations, heaven and hell. That's it. And those destinations are determined here on earth, this side of heaven, and it's based on a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's sad. So when you grieve that, we can, in a sense, you know, look at that, but it just grieves my heart when you think somebody is living and having the position and the elite status in many ways, and yet to have zero hope. Your only hope is darkness. And I'm here to tell you that our hope is in Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. We're serving the one who is the source of all wisdom and all of knowledge. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord God himself. Amen. That's who we serve. Now, when we're looking here at our text, and again, just really developing this today, I really want to bring to light what's happening in our world and how it's affecting everything from corporations down to churches. And you see decisions that people are making, and the decisions are decisions moving into the dark realm. And in those decisions of darkness, they're wanting and expecting you to embrace those decisions and will penalize you if you don't. So we need to be aware. Many times the Bible speaks about not to be ignorant, and this is an area that we do not want to be ignorant in. Many people are becoming progressive, and I say, yeah, progressively deluded. There's a delusion that's taking place. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it speaks about they decided they would believe the lie rather than the truth, And for this reason, God sent a strong delusion because they did not want to receive the love of the truth. I appreciate the worship song this morning. It comes from Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. My friends, the reason that we hold dear to this word of God is because the Bible is relevant to all people, to all times, and in all seasons. It is the word of God. It's the living word of God. The mission of the church is to deliver the world, to see God deliver the world from the kingdom of darkness into the marvelous light. So just briefly, there's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Those are the two kingdoms. And as much as this world wants to pigeonhole people into various segments, basically, you know, depending on what you look like, what you feel, what you believe and all that, my friends, it's far more easier than that. Either you're saved or you're lost. And either you're in the kingdom of darkness because you're lost, or you're in the kingdom of light because you're saved. And our outrage, my outrage, is not directed towards any person or individual organization. It's really against Satan, who's the father of all lies, who's keeping people held hostage by believing the lie and affirming the delusion of darkness. And I'm here as your pastor, and we will never affirm the darkness. We will never affirm the lie. We will never affirm the sin. We'll be delivered from that. And we thank God for that. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So we need to be willing to declare the problem, proclaim the cure. It gets down to understanding that when we're looking at the Word of God, when we're talking about church, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Rules and regulations, as I've stated several times, rules and regulations without a relationship will lead to rebellion. So we're about a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. That means we want to follow him. This idea of being the light, if we went to the very first book of the Bible and we get to about verse 3 in Genesis, it speaks about God being the light and creating light. In the process of generating life, light was God's initial instrument for illuminating the darkness and the formless void. It was the first instant of God shining light in the darkness. So Jesus came to earth. We've been studying in John's gospel. That's why we're in chapter 8. But he came to earth. And it says, we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here he was. He left heaven and he illuminated the earth with his presence. There was nothing he ever did wrong. He was a sinless Lamb of God, perfect in every way. He didn't walk around with a halo around his head like some art might display, but he was perfect in all of his ways. As a matter of fact, when they were trying to get him onto the cross, he asked, for what sin are you bringing against me? And they said, no sin, because you haven't sinned. But here's the problem. You, being a man, claim to be God. Jesus Christ is God. He's the eternal God who always lived. And he came here. And we see in John's gospel, he's been revealing himself as the light of the world. Multitudes of people were starving, hungry, literally for food. And he said, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. The manna that filled the multitudes in the wilderness, that's from me. And so I will feed you literally food right now. And afterwards, I will tell you, Jesus speaking, that I am the bread of life. And I'm going to give life to you, spiritual life to you. And then we get to this section. And again, there's an illumination. It was in the Feast of the Tabernacles, and there was a candelabra, and it would be lit, and it would be really a bright situation. And he's going to bring an explanation for the literal illustration. And he says, I am the light of the world. So he's proclaiming himself by using that title as deity. At the beginning of John's gospel in chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't understand it. When we look further into Ephesians 5:8, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Even the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, 700 years before Christ was born, states in Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shone. And God's light has shined upon you. You have a relationship, if you do, with the Lord, because the light of the gospel, the truth, shined upon you. You learned of God's great love for you. You learned of his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, and you receive that, and you are blessed by that. There are two kingdoms, as I stated. The kingdom of darkness promotes darkness, and the kingdom of light promotes light. We're here to proclaim the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our nation is a nation in transition. It's transitioning in many ways. So I know that that's a trigger word right now. But the very word itself means to cross over. Our nation is moving in a direction unfamiliar to most of us. And in a direction that is not embraced by most of us. The culture is in crisis. We have the woke agenda. We have the promotion of sexual perversion and gender confusion. People say, well, then do you deny racism? Well, I'd be a fool to do that. Well, do you think it still exists? I'll tell you what exists. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So for everyone in this world, we're in rebellion from God and against God. And until our heart has been captured by the love of God, there won't be any change. And there'll be continual violence and hatred towards people. Jesus made it really clear. And I will make a statement right here. When you look at the things that this world is looking at, diversity, inclusion, equity, all buzzwords, we'll talk about them in a minute. But if you take the first letter of diversity, inclusion, and equity, you get the word die, D-I-E. And those terms and the meaning of those terms bring death and not life. I'm here about life. I'm here about light. I'm here about darkness. And I'm here about proclaiming why we need the light of God and to really clearly see the darkness that exists. Jesus would say in Mark 12:31, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment. And that's our desire. Our desire is for people to see that. They would ask Jesus, who's my neighbor? And basically, who isn't my neighbor? Who is somebody that I want to love? Each and every one. But what about? No, there's no what abouts. It's just to love with the love of God. He said that the Good Samaritan, Jesus said he showed mercy on him. He says, go and do likewise. We're people that when we're in the light, in a practical way, we want to show mercy. We don't yell at the darkness. We operate in the light. There's a problem, and the problem is this. Holding a different position or opinion causes me to act differently and behave differently. But because I do that, people will say to me, you're a hateful person, and nothing could be further from the truth. I'm not hateful, I'm not racist, there's no bigotry. Walking in the light dispels the darkness of hatred. There's no place for hatred. There's no place for harming other people. So that there's no misunderstanding in this message as we begin. Bearing the truth and proclaiming the truth and living the truth is not inciting hatred or accommodating microaggression. We love God. We love others. We proclaim the truth. We expose what the darkness is. And this world is in madness and insanity. The light of the gospel is Jesus. Unfortunately, today it's a crime to speak the truth. So I'm speaking the truth today from God's word. Whatever is not from God's word, you can throw away. Whatever doesn't represent God from me, my heart, or my mouth, you can throw it away. I want to represent Jesus. I want to represent his word. I believe that it's a crime today to speak the truth. Presenting love and grace and truth is considered a microaggression. Meaning it can be offensive to people. And the truth is, God's word offends me. It offends my carnal nature. It says things that my flesh wants to fight against. And the Lord just says, deal with it. Now,
Yeah.